Thanks, Tim. As we stand, let's pray. Father, as we've already said, we thank you that you're a God who welcomes us in. And Lord, thank you for the way in which you speak to us through Jesus, and you speak to us through your word, through the Bible. Help us to hear and to understand and to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. I wonder what your favourite age is. I wonder, for those of us who are a little bit older, we might look back through our lives and go, well, my favourite age for me was. But I wonder what your favourite age of other people is. So yesterday we had this conversation, and the conversation was around one person saying, I so love little babies. I love that they're all squishy. I love little babies. You know, they're just so cute and squishy. I thought squishy was a good word, but I wouldn't want to take that too far, you know? I mean, you know, they're not, I mean, don't stop poking them, for goodness sake. Anyway, but that was one person's thing. You know, they were going, I love little babies. Somebody else referred to one of our grandkids and say, but she is so cute. And it was quite that high-pitched as well. And it was a man who said it. They are so cute. And then they made the comment, oh, but they're growing up so fast. And others of you might go, ah, oh, do you know what? Particularly those of us who are really old, we might be going, you know, I love that my kids are adults now. I love that I can have a conversation with them, and that they're, you know, we can talk on a kind of level kind of playing field. You know, we have become friends. Some of us might have the privilege of feeling that about our own kids. What's quite interesting is very few of us go, oh, I just love 90-year-olds. I mean, they're my favourite. But I wonder what age you think, you know, you look at. What's your kind of, just talk to the person around you and just see if you can identify. You know, when it comes to other people, what age are you going, that's the best age? Go on, have a little chat. What do you think? Okay, let's call you back in. There were two fascinating psychological things going on there. One was everybody went, we don't do that in church. So did you notice it was really quiet at first, and then the extroverts went, well, I suppose we better. And then suddenly everyone went, whoosh, it just took off. It was fantastic. So well done for that. The other thing is that a few of us were going, well, I'm sure the right answer is that I like them at every age. You know, hands up if you were in that, I need to find the right answer, people. Okay, who has a kind of suggestion for when they think that's the best age to be? Well, go on, Ginny, what do you think?
3, 4, 5, 6.
3, 4, 5, 6. 3, 4, 5, 6, around that age. Is that before they get too sassy?
It's when they begin and you see the excitement.
See the excitement, you see their expressions, their emotions begin to come out, the personality begins to come out. Yeah, we've got that with one of our grandchildren. I'm not sure it's so good, but okay. Right. Go on then. What did you say, Sally?
When I was 15, my children were grown up and self-sufficient.
Yes. Brilliant. I mean, I love my kids to bits, but I also loved it when they left home. sorry, Jazz. So 50 was great because then your kids were independent. Go on, Andy. What were you going to say, mate? Ah, it's a bit of a role reversal. You're like dad, and she's like the. That's brilliant. Are they fantastic? Thank you. Go on then.
I've got a 95-year-old friend.
Yes.
Who's actually in the same place
As Dorothy.
And she is amazing. And fun and adventurous.
Ah.
Really.
95 people, that is the age to aspire to, isn't it? Brilliant. Okay, it's really interesting question, isn't it, about age? And one of the things for us, as we look back, because of course, this is the last Sunday in the year, and the next time we meet on a Sunday will be in the new year. We'll start a whole new year. And one of the things about age is that a lot of us, as we get older, if we're not careful, we begin to get quite grumpy about the fact that we're falling to bits, I mean, to put it bluntly, okay? You know, we're not as fit as we used to be. We're physically, our bodies are sort of wearing out. I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, we struggle with our physicality. Growing old is a tough old thing, really. And also we struggle mentally as well, some of us. I mean, I'm now old enough. I know you don't think I am, but I really am old. Most of my relatives are older than me. If age is a relative thing, most of my age relatives are older. A lot younger than me. Even now I'm starting to use the excuse, I'm so sorry it's my age, I've forgotten your name. You know, because you just forget stuff, don't you? And we'll try it out again at communion later on. And I'll be going, it's gone. It's gone completely. I mean, so, and it works for me. I mean, it may work for you like this. I mean, for instance, I'm going to pick on Ginny and Martin now. For some reason in my head, it's always Ginny and Martin. If they come up the other way around, I'm stuffed. Okay? You're going to torment me with this now, aren't you? But I don't know. Things fix in your head, don't you? Anyway. We begin to deteriorate physically and mentally as we get older. But spiritually, in a really amazing way, there is potential for us to grow younger almost. It's not quite the right language, but almost to grow younger. Certainly to grow fitter and stronger. And we see that sometimes in people. It sort of radiates from them in a most amazing way. We meet those kind of what we might call saints or holy people. And we go, oh my goodness. And I want to encourage us this morning to be people who grow. Now, Jesus here, it says, we are told, grew in wisdom and stature. So from that point of view, you grow in knowledge and in understanding. When Jesus was born, he didn't arrive with his head stuffed full of all the knowledge that God had, because Jesus arrived fully human with a finite mind and capacity. God was constrained and restrained within Jesus. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. Clearly, Jesus as fully God was not omnipresent. He wasn't everywhere at once, was he? But he also demonstrates to us he wasn't omniscient. He didn't know everything. Somehow God constrained himself within Jesus. Jesus, as a human being, still needed to learn. He still needed to gain knowledge and to understand. So his mind needed to grow and develop. He physically needed to grow and to develop. But it also adds in this little expression about, and in favor with God and with people. And for me, that's a really lovely little expression about how it is, you know, because physically Jesus at 12 years old, though, he still had some growing to do and still some knowledge to gain. But somehow also he grew in favor with God and man. And for me, that's something that we can do all our lives, even if our bodies begin to fall apart, even as our minds deteriorate and our memories go. There is an opportunity for us to grow in favor with God and with people. Spiritually, there is potential for us almost to grow younger. Jesus talks about, doesn't he? Unless you become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. In other words, unless you can receive like a child receives, whether there is that 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, or 18 months or whatever age, you know, there's something quite receptive about children and their willingness to learn and to understand and to kind of come with an innocence that is really beautiful. So I want us, at whatever age we are, to be thinking about today how we can grow in favor with God in particular. And if you grow in favor with God, by the way, you will grow in favor with people too. There'll be those who dismiss you and don't like you. I mean, Jesus was crucified. He grew perfectly in favor with God. But there will also be others who look up to you and admire you and whom you inspire. There's an opportunity for us to be like that, an opportunity for us to grow. In those verses just before we read from Colossians, it says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then the verses that were read to us this morning by Lindsay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, become people who grow like Jesus in character. Grow spiritually stronger day by day. I love the expression it uses there, clothe yourself with. Clothe yourself with. Christmas is that time. I have to say, I mean, there's some of you still hanging on to Christmas, which is fantastic, well done, wearing the jumpers, some of them sparkly and things. That's really good. We tend to kind of clothe ourselves in clothing that we would never wear the rest of the year at the Christmas, don't we? And we almost seem to kind of revel in the fact that we can wear something really ridiculous and gaudy. I this year got Christmas octopus socks, as of course you would, and another pair came as a pack of two, and alongside that was Santa Jaws, a great white shark wearing a Christmas hat, which of course is a standard issue. Of course, horribly gaudy colours. Horribly gaudy colours. Would I wear socks like that the rest of the year? Well, I have very little shame, but quite a lot of vanity, so no, I wouldn't. But of course, it's Christmas, and your three-year-old granddaughter's given them to you, so therefore you have to wear them, don't you? So what is it we clothe ourselves with? In that passage from Colossians, it said, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The Christian life is not just an event. There's an element of eventness about the Christian life. For most of us, there is a kind of moment when there is a kind of recognition of who God is. And for some of us, that's a kind of long process of moment. For others of us, it's an instant moment in which we recognize who God is and we commit ourselves to be orientated, to be turned towards him. In other words, we're kind of going, well, I'm going to live my life like this, I'm going to live my life like that, and suddenly we go, well, hold on a minute. I'm going to try and live my life following Jesus. There's something about Jesus which has captured me and spoken to me. I'm going to try and live my life according to the way in which Jesus calls me to live my life. But it's also not only a moment when we make a decision to follow Jesus. There are moments that continue. I mean, the official word for that is sanctification. It's being made holy. In fact, in Hebrews, it talks about this. He says, for by one sacrifice, Jesus, by one sacrifice, this event, he has made perfect forever. Perfect forever. And then he says this, those who are being made holy. Those who are being made holy. So there is both an event and a process. In other words, there's a birth. And then there's a growing up. There's a growing to be done. Peter says this, therefore rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's not a static thing. It's a thing that we continue to, as Paul says in Philippians, that we press on towards, that we run the race towards. Hebrews again talks about we run the race. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. That's what we do. So there's a challenge for us as we come to the end of the year to look back and go, am I closer to Jesus now in terms of my growing up than I was last year? Have I moved closer to Jesus through this year? And what are my hopes and aspirations for the coming year? Many of us in a few days will set New Year's resolutions and we'll have these great aspirational things that probably by day three will have gone completely out the window. Some of them are around fitness, aren't they? Getting our bodies fitter again. We can only get them so fit, can't we? They are going to deteriorate. That's the really bad news. That doesn't mean to say that we should just leave them as they are. I do happen to think that trying to look after ourselves is a good thing. But we set ourselves these goals, don't we? So what goal are we going to set ourselves? What hopes, aspirations are we going to have for growing closer to Jesus? Jesus says in John 15, he says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Many of us have real Christmas trees in our houses, like this one here. And this is very beautiful, by the way. Can I say the number of people involved in the decoration of this tree was an extraordinary thing. I love the way that people have come along and just sort of straightened a few things at different times, which has just been great. But one of the things that happens, of course, with a tree is when you cut it off and bring it inside your house that's been growing really nicely and healthily. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing in a time of climate change, isn't it, that we just go along and cut loads of trees down. And we bring them inside, and if... Shall I? Do you want the actual demonstration of this? So the I've got one person over the back there shaking their head, and it's an ex-warden who's going, but if you do that, Howard, I've got to get the Hoover out. So I tell you what, I'm just going to flick this one branch. If I tap that one branch, look, what starts to happen, look, is the needles start to fall off under the tree. Because, very sadly, the bad news is for this tree, it's dying. And it is not going to grow again now. It's past its moment, isn't it? Jesus says, remain in me and I in you. So stay connected to me. How do we do that? It's so simple, isn't it? We simply talk to him. That's where it starts. We talk to him. If it's not your habit or practice now, I would encourage you to think about how it is you can make sure that you take time to talk to Jesus each day. If you don't know how to talk to Jesus, it's very simple. You just simply go, Jesus. Just call him by name. And then just start to talk. Just start to share what's on your heart with him. This is how it feels. This is what's going on in my life at the moment. Start at that basis. In other words, imagine you're having a conversation with someone who is genuinely interested in you. Most of us have had an opportunity, I hope, over the Christmas time, over the season at some point, or at some point in our lives, please God, we've had a moment where we've had a conversation with someone who is genuinely interested in us. Jesus is genuinely interested in you. Talk to him. Talk to him. Maybe at the start of the day, for many of us, we try and begin the day with a bit of a conversation with Jesus. It can be inside our heads that we talk to Jesus. He listens to us. He can hear us. It can be out loud. For some of us, we prefer out loud. Some of us prefer in our heads. Some of us do both. Just talk to him. Try at the first moment of the day and try also at the last moment of the day. And then as you continue to practice, try fitting it in between as well. I find that if I can't sleep very well, I somehow attempt to wrestle my head back to just simply talking to God. Talking to him in that moment, going, well, if I'm going to be awake, I'm going to do my best to have a conversation with God. Because it seems to me that would be the best use of this time rather than lying here getting cross that I can't sleep. But it might be that you can begin to go, okay, so how can I practice this a bit more this year? The other thing is read the Bible. Take time to read the Bible each day. The writer to the Hebrews says this, you know, we need to move beyond the elementary teachings about Jesus and be taken forwards to maturity. It goes so far as to say this in Hebrews 5, we've much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you, ooh dear, this is what it says, because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. In other words, the writer of the Hebrews is saying this, actually feed. Sometimes the Bible is called the word of God, which is our food to feed on. So read it. There are some Bible schemes over there. There are Bible schemes online. You can download them onto your phone. Or even just choose to read a chapter or a few chapters each day of the Bible and go, I'm gonna look for what God says to me. And if you don't understand all of it, that's okay. Just ask God to help you understand something for the day that will bless you. And the other thing is about meeting together, and you're doing that already. You're already great. Next year, how is it that we can grow that little bit more? Have a little think about it. Have a pray about it. And do something about it. So that when I stand here next year and say, you know, how have you grown this year? And that maybe you can be like Elizabeth's friend who's 95 and go, she's still amazing to visit. Or like Dorothy in her 89. Maybe we might deteriorate physically and mentally, but can we grow younger spiritually? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you love us so much, that you have given us Jesus and you give us your Holy Spirit and you have brought life to us in all its fullness. That's what you offer. Help us to receive that life and help us to live and flourish in that life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.